Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Thank you for listening today. Would you get your Bible and get ready to turn the pages with me and check the Scripture, compare the Scripture. And if you don't have a Bible, may I suggest that you get a pencil and a piece of paper and write the Scripture references down. We're talking about prayer, and have been for quite some time now. And we've been talking about the fact that prayer has to be based upon dispensational truth. In other words, everybody that can get to Almighty God today couldn't have done so in the same sense in the past. We live in the dispensation of the grace of God. God Almighty deals with everybody today exactly the same, but that's not true in all dispensations. To illustrate, in Matthew chapter 15, the Bible says that there is a Syrophoenician woman, a woman of Canaan, that came unto Jesus Christ. And this woman cried unto him, and she said, in effect, "Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And she's asking the Lord to come and cast that demon out of her daughter, but the Lord ignored her. He answered her not a word, the Bible said. And so the apostles came to Jesus Christ and said, "Send this woman away. She's crying after us." And Jesus turned to that woman and said, "It is not right to take the children's bread," a reference to Israel, the children, the 12 apostles and Israel, "it is not right to take the children's bread," that's the gospel of the kingdom, "or the blessings that belong to them, and cast it to dogs." In other words, he's calling her a dog. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ sent the 12 out, and he said, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as you go preach, saying," and on and on and on. So prayer is dispensational, as far as we're concerned. In other words, you do not have to go to God through Israel today, and God Almighty doesn't see you as a dog today. God Almighty doesn't see you less than the nation Israel. It is very obvious to the Bible believer that knows what his Bible says that Israel was exalted above the Gentiles. So I'm going to put on the board up here, and I'm going to start back here, and I'll say that right here represents the children of Israel when they come out of Egypt. As they go to Mount Sinai, and I'll let this line right here represent Israel. They go to Mount Sinai, and in Exodus chapter 19, Moses goes up unto God in the mount, and God speaks unto him, Exodus chapter 19, and he said, "Moses, go and tell my people," speak unto Israel, "and say unto them, if you will obey my covenants and keep my commandments, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all nations. You shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So I'm going to just call this, I'm going to say this are Jews up here, and I'm going to say that down here, this line represents Gentiles. Now it is absolutely clear and plain to a Bible believer that Israel was exalted above the Gentiles in that day. They were not exalted above the Gentiles necessarily in a physical sense. They were exalted spiritually and politically above the Gentiles. And so God Almighty set this up. They were given the priesthood and on and on. And Gentiles at that time could worship God with Israel. But Israel turned from God and turned unto the idols of the Gentiles. And so the prophets came and preached unto them repentance, but they didn't repent. And so finally, John the Baptist came unto them, and John the Baptist preached repentance. He did not come to the Gentiles. He came to Israel, and he preached repentance unto them. They did not repent. So Jesus Christ came, and Jesus Christ preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he sent the 12 unto them, but they didn't repent. Instead, they crucified the Son of God. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." They said, "Crucify this man." And Pilate said, "I'm not going to be responsible for the blood of this just man." And they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." And so the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11 that through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles. And so instead of Israel being saved as a nation, and the kingdom set up. You see, Jesus Christ is heir to the throne of David. The idea was that God would call Israel to repentance. Israel repent. Christ sit upon the throne of David. And then the Gentiles be brought to God through Israel, but they did not repent. And so, in other words, our salvation is not through the rise of Israel as a nation. Our salvation is through the fall of Israel as a nation. Romans chapter 11, verse 11 through 13. And so now there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said there is none good, no, not one. The Bible said there's not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible tells me that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And so in this age, and I'm going to just put a parenthesis in here like this, and in this age, God Almighty doesn't exalt one nation above another, and God Almighty doesn't see you any different than anybody else, and the Bible is very clear that the grace of God that bringeth salvation doth appear to all men. All men, as contrasted with Israel only back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so you must study your Bible dispensationally. If you do not rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to stay in a state of confusion all the time, and your prayer life is going to be affected by that. For instance, as we've mentioned before several times, in John chapter 14, look in John chapter 14, and notice in verse 12. John 14 verse 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." How many of you have done greater works than Jesus Christ? Now, I realize that men are prone to claim the passage today. Well, who do you know that have done greater works than Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus Christ stood in front of a tomb and he yelled and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth bound with linen grave clothes. In other words, he evidently was lifted up and brought forward, and the Lord said, "Release him." Who do you know that has been able to accomplish a feat like that? Why, he said to these apostles in verse 12, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." Jesus Christ went to the apostles in a storm, and he's walking on the water. They saw him there, and Pilate said, "If it be you," Peter said, "If it be you, bid me to come unto you." And Jesus told him to do so, and Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Jesus Christ walked upon water, and Jesus Christ was responsible for another man walking on water. How about you? Do you know anybody that's done anything like that recently? Oral Roberts couldn't do that. Jimmy Swaggart couldn't do that. Kenneth Copeland would go to the bottom every time. Say, these are great men. Well, they need not claim the passage, though. I'm not denying their greatness, but I am denying the wisdom of an individual that would say that John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14 is written directly to him. Notice in verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." You've asked things in his name and he didn't do it. We've got a greater promise than that in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible said, "We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And he says in verse 28, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." We've got greater promises than these. And yet, people still want to claim these. Now, I want you to notice in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So I want you to understand today that you cannot get to God except through Jesus Christ. Now, you cannot get to God today just by believing that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God. You cannot get to God today just believing that Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. There's something else that you must believe before you can get to God. Now, I want you to notice the problem here. Would you turn in your Bible with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11, these Ephesians are people that just like we are. They were Gentiles, and these Gentiles had a problem in the day when Jesus Christ came back here. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. In other words, back here, you that are talking, that are listening to my voice as I talk to you today, you were without Christ. But think of a Syrophoenician woman. She said, Lord, heal my daughter. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. The apostle said, send her away. She's crying after us. You were without Christ. In time past, you were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. And at that time, you were without Christ. Reason, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the commonwealth, from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, folks, there ain't any need for somebody to quibble about this. There is no need to wrestle over it and hassle over it. If you believe your Bible, you know then that there was a day in history when the Gentiles to whom Paul wrote this letter were without Christ. There was a day when those people were not able to come to the Lord. He said in verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. In other words, why were they without Christ? Because they were Gentiles in the flesh and not allied with Israel. Look in verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. What's the reason they were without Christ? Look what it says. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. There are those that are listening to my voice. Had you lived in the time of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you could not have got your prayers answered unless you went to God through Israel. You could not have prayed. There are a lot of you that say, well, God answers my prayers. Well, he sure wouldn't have answered them then. You were without Christ. Why? Because you were not an ally of the nation Israel at that time. Now, what are we talking about? Go back in your Bible, please, and look in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis 12, the context is about Abraham. Notice in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. Now he said to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. There was a time back there then that if a Gentile wanted the blessings of Almighty God, they had to bless the seed of Abraham. If that Gentile wanted the blessings of God, they had to meet with Israel. They had to fear God and work righteousness. Let's just say that right here represented the tabernacle in the wilderness at that time. Now, there are a couple of ways that a Gentile at that time could have got God's blessings. That Gentile at that time could have been circumcised. He could have received circumcision, as in Exodus chapter 12, and become a Jewish proselyte and receive the blessings at that time. Or that Gentile could have feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and blessed the seed of Abraham, did good unto them, blessed them, and become ally with them, and God would bless them. Let's just say that this would have been the Day of Atonement for Israel, which would have been in the seventh month of the year. Israel would have been gathered together with three tribes on that side of the tabernacle, three tribes on this side, three tribes here, and three tribes here. The Gentiles that feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would have met with these people at that time, looking for the blessings of God upon themselves. And the high priest, the inside right in here, would have been the Levites and the priesthood. And the high priest would have taken a bullock, cut his head off. He would have went with the blood of that bullock behind the veil and sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat and made atonement for the people. In other words, the great high priest, that high priest at that time, would have atoned for the Gentiles at that time that were ally with the nation Israel. Those that would have been circumcised would have become an Israelite. They would have become a Jewish proselyte. But there were Gentiles at that time that were not circumcised. And yet they met with Israel. They blessed Israel. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob blessed them. And so they were atoned along with Israel at that time because they feared God and because they did what God said to do. Turn in your Bible, please, to Psalm 103. Notice in Psalm 103, and if you don't have a Bible, I suggest you get a pencil and a piece of paper, write the passages down. Psalm 103, and notice in verse 17. Psalm 103, verse 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant." As in Genesis chapter 12. "I'll bless them and I'll bless them that bless your seed. I'll curse them that curse your seed," he said to Abraham. Now in verse 18, "To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments, to do them." Well then, God Almighty blessed the ones that feared him in that day. Any Gentile, see, the Gentile was subject unto Israel at that time. And he could come to God through Israel at that time. Now, turn in your Bible, please, to Exodus chapter 20. And notice in Exodus 20, when the law was given, in Exodus chapter 20, and by the way, there was a mixed multitude among the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. We'll start in verse 5. "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them," that is, graven images, "nor serve them. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments." In other words, a Gentile, and there was a mixed multitude of Israel at Mount Sinai, a mixed multitude, that is, Gentiles, went up out of Egypt along with Israel, and those Gentiles that served the Lord, blessed the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, blessed Israel, kept the Lord's commandments, those Gentiles were blessed of God. Turn in your Bible, please, to Luke, and look in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1. Now, I realize that there are people today that say, "I believe in the Lord," and whatever, but they don't believe the Bible. In Luke chapter 1, notice what Mary says about this. In Luke 1, verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Verse 47, "My spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior, Go to verse 49. He, God, that is mighty, hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. In other words, the mercy of God then was upon the ones that feared God. Those that believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob back there feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those had the mercy of God upon them in that day. Please turn to Acts and look in Acts chapter 10. And notice in Acts chapter 10 what Peter tells this man here. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Let's see the kind of man Cornelius was. In Acts 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. You'll observe that he fits the category that God Almighty listed back there in Genesis chapter 12, Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, and on and on. He feared God and worked righteousness. In other words, he blessed the seed of Abraham. He was ally with the seed of Abraham, blessed them, and he feared their God. And so he spoke to an angel there, and the angel told him to send and get Peter. And so Peter came to this man's house. Now notice what Peter said to him when he first got there. In verse 27, Acts 10, verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Verse 28, and he said unto them, you know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Now hold it just a minute. When Peter walked into that house where that Gentile was, or those Gentiles gathered together, what did Peter do? Was he interested in carrying out the Great Commission as people talk about it today? Think about it. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus Christ said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Did he say that? Yes, he said that. Well, Peter, how about Mark 16? In Mark 16, didn't the Lord say, go and preach the gospel to every creature? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yes, he said that. Well, Peter, what in the world are you talking about then? It's an unlawful thing for him that's a Jew to keep company or coming to one of the nation. Peter, why are you saying such a thing? Somebody said, but he said further on that the Lord has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's right, the Lord had shown him. But he didn't show him that truth through Mark 16, Luke 24, and Matthew 28. And every one of you that listen to me, that believe your Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, can't miss that. In Matthew 28, he said, go and teach all nations. In Mark 16, he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And in Luke 24, he said that this gospel is to be preached to all nations, repentance and remission of sin to all nations. That's what he said. But in Acts chapter 1, he identified the manner in which it's to be done. He said you're to go first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, when could all those in the uttermost parts of the earth get the message? After Israel had had it. After the children had been fed. He said it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. It was only after Israel had been fed that the Gentiles could get it. And Peter knew that. And so Peter stands in the house of Cornelius, and he said it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And look what he said to Cornelius in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That is, I now see that he's not right now a respecter of persons. Verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Who would God fear? I mean, who would God receive in Acts chapter 10 according to Peter? Now, you know the answer to that if you read the verse. You that have your Bibles, look what it said. Verse 35, but in every nation, the United Nations, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, in every nation, he that feareth him and what? Worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That's what Peter said to this man. But not so today. How is it today? Turn to Titus. And notice in Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible said, but after the kindness and love of God toward man appeared. That would be in Acts chapter 9. The Lord appeared unto the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and gave him the message of grace. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, what I learned from all this, I learned that in this age of grace, in this dispensation of grace, through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, I have found out that I can get to God. I've found out through Paul's ministry that Jesus Christ died for my sins at Calvary, that he was buried and that he rose again. And I found out that I was crucified with Christ by me believing in him. I was buried with him. I was quickened together with him. And I'm seated with him at the right hand of the Father. And I found out through the ministry of the Apostle Paul that I can come to God through prayer. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. And my position before God is that I stand perfect before him in Christ in the throne room right now, and that God Almighty will work all things out to my glory. We live in the dispensation of God's special favor to men through Jesus Christ's death at Calvary. If you believe in Christ your Lord and Savior, then you can come to God through him. I thank you for watching today. Until next time, good day.